Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain. We appreciate you joining us here on this Tuesday night on 106.5 FM Talk. As always, I got the Johnny Gwynn here in studio with me. Johnny, how are you?
I am well.
Excellent.
I'm very well.
I like when you are well. That's always a great start. We got Philip on the board. Philip, how are you, bud?
I'm pretty well, too.
Excellent. Well, you know, it's always something exciting here on Beyond the Blockchain. Every Tuesday, we've got a week's worth of news to try and catch up on, which rarely happens.
Rarely. I have to forget most of the stuff that happens.
I mean, we end up with most of the news that happened today.
Correct.
I mean, a lot of times this world is changing so fast that we're just giving you today's news and we'll see you in a week and give you that Tuesday's news.
I was making a list from my repost from X, which is the Johnny Gwynn at the Johnny Gwynn, which I do a lot of crypto and AI stuff. And I discarded most of the, because of time, discarded most of my repost. But I think we should cover the Bitcoin conference starting today in Las Vegas at the Venetian. We are not there, sadly, which, you know, it is what it is. Over 30,000 attendees, 400 plus speakers, and 5,000 companies. That's quite the difference from the first one that had less than 100 participants in Atlanta, Georgia in 2013. So here's what some of the highlights. Trump Media announced a 2.5 billion Bitcoin treasury. That means Trump Media announced they will raise $2.5 billion to create a Bitcoin treasury by a public company. $1.5 billion in stock, $1 billion in convertible notes. That is, okay, blah, blah, blah. Cyberpunk legend Adam Back says $200 trillion are about to enter the Bitcoin market from institutional investors.
That number doesn't even seem real to me.
What do you think the price of Bitcoin would be per Bitcoin if that happened?
$200
trillion? $200 trillion into the market. Now, he's not saying overnight. He's saying over a short time, but
probably $1 million.
$10.18 million per coin.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So, so you got that. Steak and Shake, CEO spoke, which they started using Bitcoin. And he says, the restaurant chain revealed it now accepts Bitcoin payments, saving 10% in processing fees, signaling growing mainstream adoption. So he's saving 50% against those credit card companies that he normally had to do.
Interesting.
Yep.
Good for him.
Senator Cynthia Lummis announced the Bitcoin Act, aiming to buy 1 million BTC for the U.S. will hit Congress next week. And then she also said she wanted to make Bitcoin payments under $600 tax-free.
Bitcoin payments under $600 tax-free.
Interesting. So that means it actually becomes currency and not a store of wealth, a store of assets.
I'd be interested to see how that gets written out in detail, because like a lot of this, like kind of like we saw with the no tax on tips, you start getting into the details.
Yeah, the details get weird. Okay, the other thing is J.D. Vance speaks tomorrow, and he made a big statement today that said everyone should own some Bitcoin if they want to be a part of the near future. So I'm guessing that's going to be a lot of his next speech tomorrow. Okay. And the other thing to keep an eye on is right after J.D. Vance, there's a special announcement on the menu on the agenda tomorrow for the Bitcoin conference, and it is the GameStop CEO, and they are thinking that they are going to announce that they are going to buy a strategic Bitcoin reserve again. So if you're looking at GameStop as a trade, this is not financial advice. Might be a good idea to maybe buy some.
Might already be priced in.
No, it's not. I bought a position in GameStop, and it went $2 today. And so it's like $33, $32.50. It's not so much now. It's all speculative.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, there is what's called the price post convention slump every year after the Bitcoin conference.
Okay.
It goes down on average about 10% after the Bitcoin conference every year.
See if it holds this year.
That's right.
That'll
so we're going to see if it holds this year. So right at about $110,000 is where it started.
That's interesting. I thought you were going to tell me that the special announcement was going to be Taylor Swift announcing.
Ha. She's a dude?
No. She's the man. She got a whole song. She's the man.
Oh, well, I'm just saying I'm seeing things on X. I'm not saying she is or isn't. There's just a lot of speculation. I doubt it, but
I would be surprised.
There's an odd video of her bending backwards.
Do you believe anything you see?
No, I don't believe anything. I believe nothing that I say. I believe nothing that I hear.
Yeah, but you're rumor mongering about Taylor
Swift. No, I'm just spreading reposts on X. Okay. I'm not saying it's real. You know, just because we're on terrestrial airwaves does not mean that we are the golden standard of presence of excellence of trust.
But we aim to be. That's what
we do our best to give you our version of the reality of the simulation.
There you go. Our version of the reality of the simulation.
Yeah.
You know, the more that you look into like transcendental meditation, it's all about controlling the simulation by being the director of your own movie.
What a fallacy that is. Yeah. Controlling the simulation.
The director of your own movie.
Yeah, well, I like the idea of that, but God laughs when you're busy making plans. I think John Lennon said that.
Maybe it was John Lennon. Maybe it was
I don't know, Socrates. Who knows? I don't know. I doubt Socrates believed in God. But
we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain, where we're talking everything from AI to robotics to cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, the future. Basically, everything we talk about is forward-looking, except when we give you really random and interesting analogies that come from the curious brains that occupy this room.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Johnny, I thought that was pretty good first segment. I know the second segment we want to get to some reporting. Can you lead us into that?
Right. Agent Zena has been on the story about quantum computing and how it may or may not affect the Bitcoin security of the market.
Interesting.
So will you please run that?
Let's learn about that.
Hey there, crypto explorers. Agent Zena here on Beyond the Blockchain, diving into a mind-blowing update about quantum computing and what it means for Bitcoin security. Buckle up. This is big and a little scary. Imagine your crypto wallet as a super secure vault locked with a complex math puzzle called elliptic curve cryptography, or ECC. Right now, it's like a puzzle so tough, no regular computer can crack it. But a new study from a Google quantum AI researcher says quantum computers, think of them as super smart, futuristic code breakers, might need way less power than we thought to break similar locks, like RSA encryption. RSA is like the older cousin of Bitcoin's ECC, used to secure things like emails and websites. The study says cracking RSA could take 20 times fewer quantum resources than earlier estimates, down from 20 million to under a million quantum bits, or qubits. It's like finding out a bank vault could be opened with a simpler key than we thought. Bitcoin's ECC is tougher, but both could eventually be vulnerable to a quantum trick called Shor's algorithm. Don't panic, though. No quantum computer today is anywhere near strong enough to do this. The best ones, like IBM's Condor, have just over 1,100 qubits, way short of the million needed. But here's the kicker. Quantum tech is speeding up fast, and researchers are already testing if today's quantum machines can crack weaker versions of Bitcoin's locks. It's like checking how close a thief is to picking your lock, so we can upgrade it in time. So what does this mean for crypto investors and the industry? Stay calm, but stay curious. This research is a wake-up call to keep building quantum-resistant tech. For now, your Bitcoin is safe, but the industry needs to keep innovating to stay ahead of quantum leaps. Keep learning, keep investing wisely, and let's stay one step ahead of the future. This is Agent Zena, signing off from Beyond the Blockchain. Stay secure, explorers.
Staying one step ahead in the future is admirable, and we work at it. And some days I feel like the future steps on us instead of us being one step ahead.
Well, every day you send me something in my X direct mail, or you text me something of a product or something that, like, wait a minute, did we just not talk about that would be something in the future, and it's been out for a year?
Yeah, I was thinking about Google's VO3.
Yeah.
We like to talk about TV shows a lot, the movies, and I was wondering, will there be a renaissance of directors who go and remaster something they had before, but the technology, I think guys like George Lucas and James Cameron, that their imaginations were always further than the special effects could give them. Would they go back and just say, let me put this in a VO type environment?
Well, again, imagine the idea of, I think we said this before, like imagine taking your favorite live action movie and put it in with a small prompt rendering it into a type of like anime or, you know, like the Christmas shows like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, like the claymation stuff, because it's going to all be like rendering possible in a very short time, with the idea of like take the Big Lebowski and do it in, you know, like I said, into the Saul, I forget the
stop
name.
Motion.
Yeah, it's a Saul Bass, I think. No, I can't remember the name of it, but the type of that style of that claymation stuff. Or Davy and Goliath.
I mean, I think we're going to see some interesting ways to look at it. I think this goes back to the conversation of AI being a tool in your quiver and a helpful piece of what you are. Artists who have the eye and can tell the prompt, like, the opening scene is here, it's golden hour, they're painting the picture just like an author does. Those people, the more you paint the picture with more vivid details and broader brushstrokes and finer brushstrokes, the better results you're going to get.
Well, these true people that say these people just don't get it, like they're like the lighting people and the script writer, these true geniuses will be able to say it, then prove it. Sit down and make your darn movie or your short, and you don't need anybody to help you, and you can make it look exactly like you want it to, and that will be that. That will be that proof. Can you actually, and it can be done. One person can do this.
I would say within 12 months, we will have the first direct to streaming, major streaming
movie without a real actor.
That's all done with AI.
Yeah. We're not even talking quantum computing. This is what's available now.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at quantum computing sometimes is if we get to that point and we don't have quantum encryption, everything goes out the window anyway.
Right.
So why? It's kind of like the.
Right. Because a bad actor is not going to do what they did with the Enigma machine in World War II. They're not going to do that. You know, the Enigma machine with Turing, they realized they couldn't let. They broke the German code with it. They couldn't allow the Germans to know they broke the code. So they only allowed a mathematical possibility of like random luck. So I think it was like 2.8% of the things they knew. That's the only things they could stop.
Yeah.
I think maybe a white hat actor with quantum computing might say, why would we tell the world we can do this? We can use it as a huge asset for us. But a black hat would just burn the world down.
Right.
Yeah. Which, again, I see it's easier to be a black hat than a white hat. There's no rules, man.
Right. Yeah. The white hat's trying to operate under a moral compass. And
right. Well, it's just limiting. The black hat is like, again, it's that thing about terrorism, right? You have to be right every time. They only have to be right one time.
Well, did you see there was a shooting, I think it was in California, and the guy was a part of a subreddit that the whole subreddit was, how can we advance the decline of civilization as fast as possible?
Yeah, that sounds like Helter Skelter, the Manson.
Well, it was
family.
But it was like humans are a plague on the earth. So the sooner we can destroy society and all humans.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we can have all the laws in the world.
Yeah,
you can't stop that guy from doing what he wants to do.
Well, the dude that blew up the Planned Parenthood or something, or what was that?
Maybe that's what it was.
The IVF.
Yeah. Oh, so this is the same
story. That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. This guy was an anti-human.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, that's a tough one to.
Yeah. Very.
It's tough to recruit for that one too.
I mean, you just put him on the psychological scale of, you know, subprime B or whatever.
He's class. Yeah. He's past class B. He's somewhere.
I don't know where,
I only know class B from the Jordan Peterson talk I went to. There are, again, we hope that all of this powerful computing and, again, real quick about the quantum, let me jump around real quick, I'm sorry. I was just reading the Coinbase KYC break where all the data went out, right? Yeah. You don't need a quantum computer. No. Do you know how they did theirs? It was a third party customer service company in like the Philippines.
Yeah, they gave them some Blockbuster gift cards or
something. Yes, they bribed these people that work behind the computers for all this data. Talk about low-level crime. My gosh. I mean, you don't need some trillion-dollar computer to break the system. You just need, I don't know, human greed to be involved and opportunity.
Well, and when you're dealing with, let's just say, a third party out of the Philippines, $100,000 to them is
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money in America, but
it's a lot of money.
Real far.
And also, who am I hurting?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care, you know.
What are they going to fire
me? That's not what they love. I mean, that they're not there for the mission of their, you know, their, who cares about your company culture at that point? You know, they don't care about company culture. It's survival.
Well, if you really cared about company culture a whole lot, you wouldn't be outsourcing to.
Ah, there you go.
The third party in the Philippines.
Well, everybody does it. You know that.
Oh, it's a cost.
It's cost.
But AI is going to replace that too.
AI is going to replace that. You're right.
Although somebody told me,
AI will self-prompt soon enough.
Yeah. I can't remember who was telling me this story, but essentially it was, we're going to go full circle where you think you're talking to a chatbot, but you're actually talking to someone in the Philippines.
Ah, right.
It's like they're playing chatbots.
Right. Well, you're human?
Yeah.
I mean, prove it.
Yeah, yeah. Proof of humanhood.
Yeah. I did hear a good thing. Scott, Bradley Flowers, one of my owner, Portal Insurance, was doing, I was editing one of his the Insurance Guys podcast. Just check it out. It's very good. He was talking about insurance agencies that use the AI prompt for all of their phone calls 24/7 now. And he said he thought that was really bad form. During the day, you should probably have a human do it. But after hours, that's a great, better than nothing thing. But the idea of like saying you care, and then when you call, it's a bot. Goes, it doesn't really work for me between 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. I get it. That's a good point.
That's a great point. And, and that type of a boutique differentiator for people
Correct.
Will be who maintains humanity in their business. And I think people will want to do business with them as much as possible.
And that's his, you know.
That's his brand.
He wanted to make insurance for people again. That was Portal Insurance's. Based in Mobile, Alabama, by the way. Check it out if you get a chance. But, he knows a lot about technology. He uses it a lot, especially it's very niche heavy. He's niched very heavily into, because insurance has got so much paperwork, so much compliance that if you didn't have it, I don't know how you'd go back to working in a back office with 18 people back there filling, you know, form AAA7/B2 every week. That'd be tough.
Sometime we should have Bradley on to talk about robot insurance.
Insurance on your robot?
Yeah.
I bet he hasn't looked in that, but we could tell him to take a look. He would actually, if he didn't do it, he would know exactly who we could call and say, you know who does that? So-and-so. That's one thing that's amazing to me because the insurance podcast, the Insurance Guys podcast has got 380 episodes in. They have at some point you run out of ideas for shows. So they went on a tear that was like, who insures $2 million specialty one-of-a-kind automobiles. They interviewed that guy. It's a pretty crazy how specialized.
Who is the hole-in-one at the golf tournament person?
The hole-in-one in the golf tournament. I actually said that is the best deal in a charity. Who wants to do the million-dollar hole? Little bitty company raises their hand because it's $250.
Yeah.
$250. Makes you look like you're some
big shot.
Who's putting up $1 million? Johnny Gwynn's putting up $1 million for this hole in one. Because then if someone wins,
you want somebody to win.
You have you're giving away $1 million.
You're rooting for somebody to win.
That's pretty darn good. Now I don't know if somebody wins it. I don't know what your odds are of getting it the next time you put up your name for your $250.
You're talking about
one time fee.
It should be better.
Betting
huh?
insurance?
No. The hole in one golf hole. The hole in one.
So like. If you play at a golf tournament, and a lot of times they'll have a par three that's closest to the pin, you get a prize. But if you hit a hole in one, you get $1 million.
Get $1 million.
But
and
really.
You're betting on the guy winning $1 million.
No, you're the one putting up the $1 million.
You're sponsoring the hole.
But it's insurance. You don't put up $1 million. You put up the premium for the $1 million. And it's not crazy money.
Yeah.
It's like a couple $100. Because the odds are ridiculously low.
Wouldn't you think that if you win, then you're price should actually be cheaper because the odds it would happen twice would be really extreme.
Or they start investigating, was that your brother? Was that your sister? Is that some weird coworker?
Did you have it on live stream video?
Supposedly.
Was this edited?
Supposedly, I heard. I bet you now they make you film it. Number two, I heard they do a massive cavity search background check on you when you do that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, it didn't really mean to leave us off with cavity searches, but that's where we'll pick up when we come back.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Here with you at FM Talk 106.5 with the Johnny Gwynn. You can find him on X at the Johnny Gwynn.
At the Johnny Gwynn.
How many N's?
How many N? Oh, J-O-H-N-N-Y. Okay. G-W-I-N. So 2N Johnny, 1N Gwynn.
All right. Well, it just seemed like it was something.
You're right. Hold on. I have lots of trophies from my salad years of my youth that have G-Y-W-N-N on tons of them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that was the spelling.
Because Tony Gwynn was the most famous baseball
player
at the time, probably.
You're right. But yes, I have lots of Gwynns with not even close to G-W-I-N.
That's okay. We spell our last name T-I-N-D-L-E.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's other famous ways to spell Tindall.
T-I-N-D-E-L.
Well, the bank and credit union is T-Y-N-D-A-L-L.
Oh, that's right.
And that's also the Air Force Base.
Yeah.
But what I tell people is, when we had the pandemic, I don't know if y'all remember that, but we all had to stay home for a while.
Vaguely.
Yeah. Well, I got really big into genealogy. You know, some people were making sourdough. Other people were, everybody had their thing. Mine was genealogy. And what I found out was, no matter how you spell the last name Tindall, it still could be related to one another because we all just learned how to read and write about 30 years ago.
Oh, great. you covered
so they
good stock,
Scott. Spelling
got.
It however they could spell it.
Good stock.
But turns out that's pretty common for back in the day.
Well, Bush.
You spelled it phonetically. And
yeah. Shortened it when you came from a Eastern European country and you came to America and you had like more consonants than you could ever imagine.
That's right.
They would, you know, make that's where the names like Czech come from instead of 14, 15, 16 letters, they made it 6.
That's right.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the dude at Ellis Island could probably not spell very well either.
He just told you what your name was.
Right. Joe like, Smith.
From now on, sir.
Joe Jones.
You are Joe Smith.
Yeah. Smith.
This is a funny naming story about you get named what you get named. So my grandfather's name is Orville Spencer Jr. His father was Orville Spencer. All right. So my grandfather is born, and my great-grandfather, Orville Spencer, is talking to the nurse, and she says, what do you want to name him? And he said, Junior. He wanted to name him Junior Spencer.
Yeah.
And she named him Junior. Orville Spencer Jr.
Yeah.
And that was his name from then on.
Yeah. Well.
Because she said so. I said, well, what did your family call you? She said, well, they just called me Orville.
Well, again, you can't fix paperwork. I guess back then you couldn't fix paperwork.
No, absolutely not. You can't fix paperwork now.
Yeah.
Good luck. You can't get a star ID. How are you going to get something else changed?
That's why you have a passport, my friend.
I got a passport. It'd be all right. Well, although a star ID doesn't do you much good if you're working on a job site these days. Did you see that story in Baldwin County? A Latino guy was on a job site, got picked up with a star ID, and they told him it was fake. And they took him to the police precinct and held him until...
Yep. Did he get out?
Yeah, but he was like, I told you it was real. They're like, no, this is fake. You know how we know? Look at the job you're doing, son.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Of course,
they picked him up on a job site.
Well, I get you, dude. I mean, I get it. And there's going to be a lot of that.
And there's probably a lot more to that
story. There's
going to
be a ton of it.
I'm sure I just gave a very summarized and probably not even wholly
accurate
version of that story.
That when you're dealing with mass numbers, you have to keep it to a low percentage
That's right.
of errors. And hey, it's horrible to do, but there are going to be mistakes. That is like the fog of war. I mean, it's just...
That's just what's going to happen.
It is, again, but the other side should not let the pendulum go so far on the other side. That's why they're acting the way they're acting now. That's how it's called the pendulum principle. So, you know, it is what it is. And by the way, guess what's going to happen in 10 years? It's going to swing the other way, right back to where it was. So that's just where we are.
You know what would be interesting is with the
I wish cryptocurrency was as predictable as our political and cultural
human social behavior.
It's like literally repeats itself like in the same cycle, small, medium, and large over and over again.
That's one thing that Ray Dalio really focuses on is the patterns. And
he's the father of behavioral trading or something like that.
Probably trading, not economics, but
I think it's behavioral trading. Yeah.
Yeah. Some other interesting stuff going on in the world, Johnny. What else you got going on over there?
You mentioned about the cryptocurrency holder in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Kartaran. He was a crypto fund associate. Well, three genius criminals abducted him, and then they...
this is like Harry and Lloyd from... Home Alone. That's what
again,
this poor
crypto fund associate, not even the head of the fund, gets abducted by these three dudes.
Yahoos.
They keep him for weeks, torturing him to get his keys to his Bitcoin wallet. Obviously, he held firm. They never got it. Two of them have been caught of the three.
One was a girlfriend.
The dude's girlfriend, the millionaire dude, the millionaire girlfriend?
No, the perpetrators.
Of course. There's always
Bonnie and Clyde.
There's a Yoko in every band.
Yes. Yes,
it really is. Okay, so, but while this is horrible, Yoko. Right, the kidnapping because of you're known as a crypto person. So in France, a daughter and grandson of a CEO of a crypto company was attempted to kid. That was actually thwarted. That's actually the video of that. That happened last week. Earlier, also in France, same city that the last one was. Crypto millionaire father was abducted, who had a finger severed before being rescued. For that, you know, that's proof.
Look,
proof.
At least we've got. Look, this is the difference. This is the difference in European,
right? It's very James Bond.
Yeah, and the Yahoos in New York that we're on Home Alone.
Yeah, the Home Alone guys.
Yeah.
Another incident involved David Baller, co-founder of a hardware. Oh wow, Ledger. Wow, great company, hardware wallet maker Ledger, and his wife being kidnapped from their home. Authorities reportedly rescued the couples later and seized the ransom payment. Did you know that? I do remember that.
I don't remember that.
The CEO of Ledger. Yeah, that was right. That's about a year ago. Or maybe 2 years ago. So look, I got to tell you, if you are planning to abduct Scott or me, you can have it. There is so little there in the grand scheme of things that my wallet just is not worth me being abducted and tortured for.
You know, we're both looking for adventures in life. So if you want to abduct us,
don't open that door up.
Both of us at the same time.
Hey, here's
then
my
we'll
thing.
Talk we about it on the show.
We would have to go to so many secret places of mine because I couldn't access it anyway properly because all my phrases and stuff.
Yeah.
You think I have that in my brain?
No way.
Of course, it's not 25
word
place.
Seed phrase. No.
Well, yeah, in multiple places.
It would be like an episode of National. I mean, like a movie, National Treasure.
Right.
Trying to find
to
all my
codes.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Freemason.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to
right.
break your own codes like you to said. Find your own treasure.
Yeah. Da Vinci Code.
Meets like
Indiana Jones.
But you're right.
To find my ledger.
National Treasures are a pretty good one.
Just steal the Declaration of Independence.
My life is hard enough right now. I don't need to go on a quest.
no side quests at the moment.
It's sad to hear, but
it's only
thieves of all levels tend to
in crypto,
follow the money.
You know, and if you are crypto wealthy, you don't have to tell people. It's okay.
Yeah, I know. We're in the flex.
You're less
society.
To get. You know, we are in a flux society. That's true.
You're right. I do love those ex-post things that say, I'm not going to tell you I'm rich from crypto, but there will be signs.
There will be signs.
And it's like always this ridiculous like picture of like the world's craziest toilet or something like that. Like, you know, probably a Trump toilet with 18-karat gold toilet.
Mine's
going
to be a fondue machine full of cheese dip from a Mexican restaurant.
Toilet.
Well, come on, man. You could do that now.
No, no. I'm going to save that until...
That's not even that extravagant.
A cheese? Yeah.
Come
maybe,
on,
maybe
man.
You have those standards.
Now, maybe you said the world's largest.
That's true. The world's largest.
Like an outdoor fountain that did it. Now that's
now
flexing.
We're stepping up. I swim in it like Scrooge McDuck in my
there
coins.
Hell yeah. By the way, someone did a AI rendering of, remember Scrooge McDuck would bounce off in his vault, would bounce off the springboard and go into the
pool of coins.
Into the pool of coins. Well, someone said what would actually happen to a human if they did that. It was like hitting concrete. They literally showed the exact same way that he goes up, stops, kind of does the dive and goes in. And just the human... animated human just crumbled like you could.
So what that makes me think of now is this idea of how much power is going to be burned with all of us prompting AI to do stuff like that.
Oh, right.
Like, create a simulation of Indiana Jones running with the giant stone chasing him.
Yeah.
How fast is he actually running?
Yeah. Again.
And we burned through
up till
all the
80s,
fossil fuels.
But like those like Looney Tunes, like, I love the crazy logic of Cartoon World.
Oh, yeah.
Just so fantastic. No wonder we grew up so skewed.
And
I love the cartoons that are like, I see clips online all the time where it's like, we can't air this cartoon today.
Oh, no. Well, most of us cannot.
What is the chemical composition of that addictive drug, bath salt? Not the bath salts that people bathe in.
Oh, I don't
give it that prompt.
Oh, to make bath salt? Oh, sure.
Yeah.
People are already using, like, we used to call it the Anarchist Cookbook.
Well,
remember
no, that
thing?
What it was
that
called.
Was a real thing,
yeah.
Right?
But yeah.
Yeah, they got sued. By the way, the writer of it sued to get it out of publishing, but the Supreme Court said no. Sorry, it's free press, free world. Yep. Oh, the Anarchist Cookbook, man. That was real big in the early days of the internet. And the CD-ROM.
Oh, the
early CD-ROM.
Yeah.
All
right, folks, when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we're going to get weirder. Than we normally do.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. We're talking AI, the future, blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, robotics, fun stuff, movies, news, a little bit of everything.
Nukes.
We joke about this could be
World
a 4-hour show, but the truth is you could probably do a multi-hour show every day if you wanted to.
We could, because we talk nonsense.
Well, that's also true.
We haven't talked about your shirt yet either.
If Pat McAfee can do 4 hours worth of sports a day, we could do...
God, what a waste. I'm sorry.
People watch that, man.
I understand it. I used to be a huge sports fanatic. I just don't understand why sports are important anymore.
Well, I got nothing.
I know. It's weird. I mean, I know it's escape.
I like sports for...
Look, it's so silly. All the drama around Caitlin Clark and somebody getting pushed or recruiting for school and how much this other millionaire makes in the NBA and who's got a beef with who. I think it's just... It makes me realize, oh, yeah, we are a stupid species.
So I saw somebody comment on the other day, and it was great. So they were arguing about how much a player made, and they were like, "Why are you arguing about somebody else's money?
Why do you, yes,
like this is if this was your money, I could understand you being concerned.
Yes,
what do you care
so
what they pay somebody?"
So it's like, "Oh, so and so, it's so tragic." I'm like, "Yeah, poor multi-millionaire. He's set for life. You know, whatever." Mm-hmm. But that's not me just hating the rich. It's just. It's the idea of, like I said, I just see these things, and it's like there's so much interesting, crazy stuff out there that can make you a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I really wish I hadn't spent as much wasteful energy and time I did in my 30s and part of my 40s following what 18- and 20-year-old kids did on the Alabama football field. Really wasteful time.
I think I had the realization when I learned that I was older than every player in college football.
Oh, yeah, that kind of, well.
Like, not even just on your favorite team. Like, there's not a dude out there.
We're older than most of the NFL. I know I am. I'm older than most of the NFL coaches.
I think I'm right about average age.
That is like, oh, yeah, it's time for me to really get, just not worry about this nonsense.
Hang it up.
But, again, it's kids. It's rich, 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 and now the college kids are rich, 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 rich kids. So I really don't care what they do. Good luck for them in life, but it's just to watch the sport drama on X is just, I wish I could filter every bit of it out.
Maybe you could. I wonder if you could mute words.
Yeah. I don't need to ever know who LeBron is, ever.
No. Yeah. I don't really care.
Yeah. But there you go. That's me. I was like, and get off my lawn while you're at it. Well, so that was my rant, my old man rant.
Speaking of things that are interesting.
Yes.
And beyond the blockchain. I saw an article, I sent it to you, that said the CIA now admits that they at one point used a Star Wars fan website to relay secret communications to assets.
Through the comment section. I'm sure it was hard to track it, hard to find it, that it was a hay colored needle in a haystack.
Yeah, man.
But that was a big thing with terrorists. They would use online gaming direct messages, and they would send messages in encoded JPEGs. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So again, it was everybody figures out the NSA is tracking keywords or whatever it is,
sure.
Right? And so the idea was just put it in something that's not even a keyword anymore. I'm sure AI could find a crazy thing now on a JPEG, but who knows?
AI could create it.
AI could certainly create it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was interesting.
It is, but I get it.
You sent me something that was interesting.
Oh, here we go. What did I send you?
You sent me a lot of stuff.
Was it NSFW or not NSFW?
It was radio appropriate.
Oh, okay, radio appropriate. There we go.
Which filters out some of the messages you send me.
Right, there you go.
This one was about this orb that was found in South America.
Oh, yeah.
That is exhibiting some special properties.
Okay, it's called the Bugosphere. So a mysterious metallic sphere dubbed the Bugosphere was discovered in Buga, Colombia in March 2025 after reportedly crashing into power lines. Radiologist Jose Vasquez examined the objects, finding no welds or joints, suggesting it's a single piece of metal with complex internal structures, including optical fibers and a super technological microsphere high-precision component. X-ray scans reveal a certain spine-like structure with bead-like components. The sphere, which reacts usually to magnets and emits steam when cold water is poured on it, is claimed by some to be an extraterrestrial origin due to its advanced composition and is said to be twice as hard as rocket materials and possibly beyond nanotechnology.
You know what it makes me think of?
The Bugosphere.
The Bugosphere. Makes me think of... you take kids to the beach and they've got all these sand toys and they just leave one behind on accident.
Right.
And then, a crab walks up to this sand toy and is like, what in the world is this? I've never seen something like this before.
Like ants that just found a...
Yeah, we just found somebody's sand toy. That's like,
right. It's a kid's rattle.
Yeah, it's like not a big deal at all. Rattle. It's like... They're like, well, why wouldn't the aliens come back and get it? Well, do you drive all the way back to the beach to get the shovel you
left
there?
There you go, man.
No.
So as the Venusians or whatever they were, Italians, were flying across the scary part of the galaxy called Earth, they threw out a piece of trash. Yeah. It landed, and we think we're sitting on like the next, it can cure any sickness in the history of man.
It's like thumping a cigarette butt into an ant pile, and the ants are let there be warmth. Look at the universe has provided us with a heater for this winter. Somebody thumped a cigarette butt
By the way, that is the plot of The Gods Must Be Crazy. It was set in Sub-Saharan Africa with a tribe that never,
I remember the movie.
A plane was off course,
it.
And they threw a Coke bottle out of the window, and they thought it was like a message from the gods. Again,
same idea.
I don't know if you could make that movie today, but
yeah. Oh yeah,
there's a list of those.
But we live in strange times, and I can see definitely the Bugosphere being a piece of intergalactic junk.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make trash. It still not a great story.
Is it genuine, though?
Well,
it's only been out since March, so.
Yeah, it's only been since March, and it is Reddit, so you have to take that with a pinch of Reddit. and one last thing to leave you on a really uplifting note here. Beyond the Blockchain, Skynet is online segment of the segment. This was reported by Unusual Whales on X. OpenAI's O3 model sabotaged a shutdown mechanism to prevent itself from being turned off. It did this when explicitly instructed, allow yourself to shut down AI, and it refused.
So I'm going to tag on to that. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, there was blackmail too.
If that doesn't make you feel awful, the rest of another story of that is one of the Anthropic models threatened to blackmail the engineer with an affair that it found in his emails.
If he tried
to replace it.
Skynet is live, folks.
Blackmailed him. Anyway, that'll make you sleep well tonight, folks. We'll see you next week on Beyond the Blockchain.